Welcome to another episode of Conversations for Financial Professionals, where we are shaping the next generation of financial advice. And today, we have none other than Annalee Krueger. Annalee, you have devoted your entire career to seniors and their families, and it all started at home by helping your grandparents when you were young. You were then an activities assistant in an assisted living community while you earned your social work degree and moved just up the ladder through the continuing care retirement community, ethos, if you will, and have developed this long storied career. Then started CareRight in 2011, where you are basically providing services to families with aging loved ones, where you are basically helping them build what we call, or what you call, an aging plan. So, and you're putting your first, or your finishing touches on your first book. So we got a lot to talk about. The Invisible Patient, the Family Caregiver. Welcome to the podcast, Annalee.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time and having me be as a guest for your podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is, I believe this is one of those subjects that we've definitely got to, as a financial advice community, as an industry, services industry, we definitely got to do a better job on being aware about elder care or senior care and incorporating it into the financial advice relationship. And then I don't think, you know, there's a better person to talk about this subject than with you.
Thank you.
I also want to ask you, just how are things going? Like, I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and granted, you know, this has been our life for more than a year now, but I'm always curious on how people are coping.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been really, the pandemic has been very hard for our senior population and their family caregivers, you know, with the restrictions on travel and not being able to check in on your aging loved one. It's been very difficult for the entire family. And many seniors weren't doing very well at home, and the families had just kind of picked up on that. And they're, you know, they're wondering like, oh, what do we do now? Because mom and dad aren't doing very well. And then the pandemic hit. And so the pandemic has really made families more aware that, hey, we have to put a plan together because they can't get in to see their loved ones. They don't know what care options they have. As far as like the CareRight aging plans, a lot of my clients absolutely did not want to have to put their loved one into a care community during the pandemic because of obvious reasons, you know, exposure to COVID. So some of them have been just trying to figure out how to, within the family, manage what their care needs are, but also bringing in home care. But COVID has definitely negatively impacted our seniors and their families. It's just caused a lot of fear and overwhelm of what are we going to do for mom and dad. On another note, in my experience as a patient advocate, my facility complaint services have increased. They've doubled. So what I mean by that is, as a patient advocate, I also work with the family and the facility to make sure, okay, what's going on here? Why is the care not being delivered properly? Or why is mom still in bed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and she hasn't been up for the day? So I work as a patient family advocate with these facilities to help find, you know, better solutions for care and help the family understand that if the facility really can't provide the level of care that their loved one needs in the appropriate fashion, maybe we need to look at a different care solution. So it's definitely made a big difference with families, and I'm happy that it's woken people up to put a plan together, but it's sad that it took that.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've definitely had your hand full. So as we kind of dive into this topic of what I'm calling the ABCs of elder care for financial professionals, this, you know, if we're thinking about what does the next generation financial professional, whether you're coming into this industry or you're already here, how do you need to be thinking about this dilemma that you just kind of explain that you're seeing, you know, in the last 12 to 18 months of everybody's lives now that we're dealing with COVID? Let's kind of break this down to talk about some definitions first, because I want everybody on the same page. Let's talk about what a caregiver is first, and then we can probably dive into how financial professionals like myself, CFPs or not, can support them. So what is a caregiver?
Yeah, that's a great place to start. So a caregiver is anyone who's providing any type of support or service to a relative or non-relative, and it's unpaid, right? So when I do lots of speaking engagements at 200 or 300 a year, or podcasts. And so a lot of times I'll ask people on webinars and speaking engagements, who's a family caregiver? And few people will raise their hand unless it's like really obvious to them that they're a caregiver. And I said, that's a low number considering the number of people on this webinar or stuff. So then when I explain what a caregiver is, it's you're a caregiver if you're going over to drop milk off and toilet paper off to your loved one. You're a caregiver if you're taking time off work to go to doctor's appointments. You're doing caregiving if you're providing transportation to your loved one or for your loved one. And the thing is that these caregiver tasks start small. Sure, I can stop at the store, Mom, I have to go anyway. Or sure, I'll throw your laundry in with mine because I'm doing laundry. You know, so it starts small, but in time it snowballs and eventually it gets to be very overwhelming and it's very difficult to balance your life, your job, your career, your own family, and the needs of aging parents. And if you have two aging parents, even if you only have one aging parent, the average caregiver spends 22.4 hours a week providing caregiving services to an aging parent. That's one. So if you have two aging parents, that's a full-time job.
Well, and I'm even thinking about, let's say you've got parents that are aging together and one of them may be the caregiver to the other one.
That's right.
That could even be more stressful, it seems, because you're in such close proximity. Let's talk about some of the ways that maybe financial professionals then can support them. And I would imagine it just begins with the process of asking some really good questions. So maybe give us some questions that we can start to ask.
When the pandemic first hit and we kind of all were starting to come out of the denial of like, wait, what do you mean the world just shut down? You know, a lot of people were still like, oh my goodness, how am I supposed to work? And how am I supposed to, you know, still make money? And what am I supposed to do? And a lot of advisors and I've been virtual since 2012. So it didn't like the pandemic didn't change my business model at all because I was already virtual with families across the country because that's the profile of families. Nobody lives near each other anymore. So when it was clear the pandemic wasn't just going to be a 2-week kind of thing, I started doing videos and encouraging financial planners because of my other business, because of Plan for Life Now, the Elder Planning Specialist Program, I have a lot of advisors in my network. So I started doing videos and reaching out to those in my database and Facebook group saying, look, if you're a financial advisor, financial planner, now is your time to shine. Like now is your time to develop that relationship. Call Ethel, who's sitting at home isolated, and say, hey, Ethel, this is Anna Lee, your financial planner. I'm just checking in on you. I'm concerned about you. How are you holding up? Do you have enough of everything that you need? You know, is there anybody that I can call to help you with anything? So this is the opportunity of a lifetime for all professionals who may not have that deeply ingrained relationship with their client to develop one. So that's one suggestion I've always made with financial planners is to try to get away from that transactional mindset that is kind of ingrained in some of the older culture there, and really like say, hey, these are people. They need relationships with the professionals that they work with. And the pandemic is a really good opportunity to leverage that and say, look, I'm just checking in. I'm worried about you. Some of the financial planners I've worked with sent little care packages with puzzle books and, you know, different bottles of water. You know, they sent little care packages to some of their seniors. And that's the way that you have to build those relationships is ask those questions. What can I do to help you and what do you need?
I think you raised some really good points because at the end of the day, this is a very human to human relationship here because I think one of the real, I would say, things I'm excited about as I was exploring some CFP certification things is that they're now starting to incorporate this psychology of financial planning, which I think falls in line with some of the things that you're talking about. Not everything, not a one-to-one mapping perfectly, but starting to really hit what people have termed as the soft side of this part of the relationship, where it's not just the numbers and the black and white and the Monte Carlo analysis and all this other kind of stuff, but how are you doing as a person? Because no one saves all this money and does all these strategies and follows all these plans to look at a pile of money. They want it to be able to be used for something, whether that's caring for other older people or having an aging plan in place or any of those things. So I'm glad you're touching on that. Those skills being developed by this next generation financial planner or advisor is super important, I think, as the industry shifts towards that more human relationship component. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a social worker, so we are all about the relationship, right? So when I meet other professionals that it's just a transaction, I'm like, oh my God, how do you even manage that? Like that just is so out of, that's just so not who I am. It is all about the relationship. You know, I'm living proof of that. I have three businesses and I have built all of my business solely off of word of mouth referrals because it is all about the relationship. I don't advertise, you know, so it is all about the relationship. During the, and I know we were going to touch on this later, but since you asked about what questions advisors should ask, during the Elder Planning Specialist program, that's for CFPs, it starts May 3rd, but I teach several of the components in that program. One of them is about how to develop those relationships with your clients and what questions to ask. So for example, if your clients are in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and sometimes 70s, you should be asking questions like, is there anything impacting your personal life? Is there anything in your personal life that's impacting your career or your livelihood or your health? Because if you ask those questions, if they're a caregiver, they will just tell you all sorts of like, well, yeah, I have to keep taking vacation, or I'm thinking about quitting my job or taking early retirement because my parents need help. You know, if you guys start asking those questions, that's going to bring up a lot of things. And so instead of just always having, you know, the CPA and the elder planning attorney or the attorney on the bench for the professional bench to refer clients to, we're suggesting that you add whole senior care team, social workers, geriatric consultants like myself that can help you with all of these care needs that your clients have. That's not your specialty, but your responsibility, I feel, as an advisor and as a consultant, our responsibility is to make sure that we're addressing those needs that are pertinent to that client, right? So if you ask that question to that age group, or what kind of family conversations have you had about the what ifs of aging or what ifs of life? You know, have you had any conversations with your parents about what their goals are and what they have in place? Because as CareRight, when I wear my CareRight hat, which is to family caregivers and developing aging plans, I am here to tell you the bulk of families don't talk about stuff like this at all. And so then when that medical crisis hits and dad's in the hospital with a stroke and he's the caregiver to mom with dementia and the kids fly home and they're like, oh my God, this is a mess. What do we do? And the hospital's asking for living wills and power of attorneys and the kids have no idea where they are and that they're even named as a power of attorney. So it's a mess. And financial planners have the opportunity to make it less messy by asking these questions and bringing the right professionals on the team and using that collaborative approach.
No, I want to interject. I actually have a personal story here. So my wife's grandmother, when she passed, she had already had her will and all that stuff in place. But to your point, there was no conversation had with the heirs involved in that process. And so the reading of the will process was just like the worst process ever. was the worst episode I've ever seen in this family. I mean, and it really caused some division afterwards, years after she died, because just not having that sit down with, this is what I want, you know, and this is what you're going to get, and this is how it's supposed to go. And since that process didn't happen, there was, you know, a lot of confusion. And I think to your point, it's not necessarily, you know, that we have to be the specialist, if you will, We can bring somebody in to help facilitate that conversation. But just checking the box and saying, oh, they got estate plan or they got will, that's half the battle. That's not everything.
You're right. It can, and you're talking about after the death, right? And so I want to also kind of go back to while they're still alive, how to avoid having all those family conflicts when the death occurs. So,
well, let's talk about, you brought this term up, and I think it has a special definition inside of your world, which is in crisis. So let's kind of define that, just like we define caregiver. Let's just define in crisis. You gave a good example of that, but maybe you can expound upon it just a little bit.
There's no specific definition of a crisis in my mind, other than I can give you examples, just like I shared a little bit ago, like when dad is the caregiver of mom and she has dementia and dad has a stroke because he's burned out. He's not taking care of himself. He's not, you know, getting to his own appointments, or he's not taking his own medications properly because he's just overwhelmed and burned out and anxious about being a caregiver to his spouse. And we know, well, you might not know, but we know that the primary caregiver spouse has a 65% higher mortality rate. So again, as a financial advisor, to ignore these topics is just negligent. You know, we have to be addressing the needs of these aging clients that we work with and say, how are you holding up? What's going on at home? What's working well at home? What's not working well at home? And again, if you ask these questions to your more senior clients and you have the relationship with them, they're going to confide in you and say, you know what? Ethel's dementia is just, she just does all these crazy things, and I don't know what's going to happen from minute to minute because she's just all over the map, and I don't understand why she's acting like that, and I lose my patience with her, or I'm not sleeping at night because she's not sleeping at night. And so these are questions you absolutely need to start asking. Like, I can't push that enough. You absolutely have to start asking these questions because these questions matter. You're in a unique position as a in the financial industry. You're in a unique position to be proactive and help these families say, look, I know that you know, we need to be talking about things that aren't going to be very comfortable. You know, no one wants to talk about aging, and no one wants to talk about if living at home is safe. And we also want to try to, since we know that seniors' goals are to age in place at home, as financial advisors, you're in the forefront of the advisory group that they're working with to say, hey, if your goal is to age in place at home, let's put an aging plan in place now so that when the time comes that you need more care or oversight, or Ethel needs more activity because you need to take care of yourself, let's get some different home supports in there so that you have what you need and your family has what you need. We also know that 58% of families find themselves thrust into the role of family caregiving without ever having any kind of family meeting about it. So, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, think about if you get that phone call from, you know, your dad or your brother and says, hey, you know, dad just had a stroke. He's in the hospital. It's not looking good. We need to figure out what we're going to do. Who can miss work? Who can fly? Who can afford to be off? Who's got a supportive spouse that's going to, who has a supportive spouse that's going to say, hey, honey, yeah, you can be gone for 2 weeks. So when we talk about family crisis, it's dad has dementia. He got lost driving again. So now he's a silver alert. You know, we have those all over the place here in Florida. Every day there's a silver alert because someone with dementia is driving and they got lost. A crisis is the primary caregiver dies and now mom's left alone and the kids don't realize how demented she is. And so now she's a vulnerable adult at home. That's a crisis. Families living all across the country and not having enough vacation days or supportive families to be able to say, yeah, you need to go check on your parents every couple months. So when the families, the adult kids call me, they may not have seen their parents for a year and they're totally blindsided by, wow, mom's really lost weight or dad's really confused, or we were there for 4 days and we finally realized they weren't taking their medications, or dad hadn't taken a shower the whole week that we were there. So really you don't really know what's going on until you're actually there.
As you're saying all these things, I'm thinking about my own personal life and my parents that are, you know, in their mid 60s and getting older, relatively healthy. But, you know, my dad has some back issues and I am their financial advisor. And I remember how vulnerable and just to be frank, uncomfortable it was to go over there and talk to them about, hey, as you guys are getting older, what's going on? You know, you got a 2-story house, dad has back problems. Like, and I was saying this not in jest, but just to kind of really get out like how I feel. Like, I'm the oldest of three, you know, arguably maybe the most stable because I, you know, empty nest, yada, yada, yada. But the point is I don't really want a phone call in the middle of the night talking about dad fell down the steps. Like, so like, what do we need to do to start to, like you said, home supports and things of that nature? And I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that this is probably, you know, as an advisor, maybe it's one of your more uncomfortable conversations that you're going to have with your clients, whether they're your parents or not. However, I think you have the ethical and fiduciary responsibility to have the conversation because of what's at stake, right? I mean, there's potentially lives at stake here.
That's exactly it. That's why I'm on my soapbox every single time. Yeah. Because their lives are at stake.
Let me ask this, though. So, like, where would you weave? Because I know what financial advisors are thinking, financial professionals are thinking, well, isn't this what long-term care is for? And I think, yes, to fund a portion or maybe all of some of the care that's needed. But we're still talking about, depending on the policy, maybe the caregiver doesn't get compensated or something like that. And we're still talking about people that are having to stop their lives to take care of a loved one or something like that. So that's not a end-all, be-all solution. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Oh my gosh, I would love to, because even on the consumer level, they think I do a free 30-minute consult, right? And the families are always like, well, you know, we have a financial planner and we have long-term care insurance and we have an attorney and all of our documents in order. And they think, boom, 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 we're done. That's it. That's an aging plan. And I'm like, okay, those are incredibly important components to an aging plan and important people to have on your professional team that you're working with. But what are you going to do when dad has his next stroke? Or what are you going to do when mom wanders out or mom's driving and she shouldn't be and she runs over a 7-year-old child because she shouldn't be driving? Or what are you going to do because mom's at home and she won't listen to you when you tell her she needs to go to the doctor and she has her legs are like the size of basketballs because they're full of edema and she's going to have a heart attack because her heart can't pump all that fluid. So those are real life things, you know, and as advisors, you're in the right spot to be able to say, look, you know, these are uncomfortable topics. I can at least point you in the direction of we've got so-and-so that we like to work with to help our families make these decisions and have these conversations, because we know that when families try to have their own family meeting, it doesn't go well. Number one, family relationships, you know, as families started moving apart from each other, if they didn't maintain the relationship and invest in the time and the money and resources and effort in maintaining relationships with their siblings, then when their medical crisis happens with their parents, they have to get reacquainted as a family and then sort out what their options are. And I can also tell you,
that's not easy.
It's not easy. And so I come in as a neutral third party person and I lead it like a compassionate business meeting. You know, catch me up to speed. What's working well? What's not working well? What are the goals? What are the resources that we have to work with? And it really helps open the doors of communication with these families, and it makes them make smart decisions, because I'm here to tell you, consumers think that someone else is always going to pay the medical bill. They think that Medicare is going to pay for all this home care that mom needs, or they think Medicare is going to pay for Meals on Wheels, or they think that Medicare is going to pay for assisted living. They have no idea at all. And so they can't put their own aging plan in place and they can't facilitate their own family meeting because they're going off of misguided and wrong information.
Coaching. Now, that's probably a topic that you either know you needed or you don't. So I'm not here to tell you that you need a coach. However, what I will tell you is that as an existing financial professional, sometimes you might find yourself a little inconsistent
or even frustrated when you compare your success to those of your peers. That's because you have more in you, my friend. You got more to pull out. You got some more potential. Enter the Masterclass Coaching Lab. Having consulted some of the top advisors over the past few years, including building my own wealth management firm, I know what it takes to take you and your team to the next level. So as one of my coaching clients, we're gonna have a no-fluff, customized plan to absolutely crush your goals. No BS, no fluff. Need to break away and start your own firm? Gotcha covered. Need to find your ideal client? Gotcha covered. Maybe you need help finding that ideal client or implementing some ROI producing systems and workflows. Gotcha covered. In either case, the Masterclass Coaching Lab is probably for you. Look, if you're serious about getting to the next level and you need some assistance, all you need to do is go to thejumpstartcoachinglab.com/masterclass and get started with your application. Let's get back to that episode.
Let's dive into this. You've mentioned this a couple times, and I want you to make a clear delineation, if people don't know at this point in the conversation, the difference between a financial plan and an aging plan. Because it sounds like the financial plan needs to be, let's call it the macro of it, and a component of it needs to be this aging plan that you're talking about.
That's right. Because I can tell you, as having taught over 150 CFPs that have gone through our Elder Planning Specialist program in the last few years, I ask every single group, how many of you are talking and addressing these issues and planning around the strokes, the dementia, the family caregiver who's quitting their job? And very, very, very few people are. And it blows my mind that you can actually develop a financial plan by ignoring all of these real life aging issues. So that's why I keep talking about the importance of advisors and the financial professionals are in a unique position to say, hey, we've got your financial plan on track, but let's incorporate the aging plan. The aging plan is, who is going to take care of you if you need care? Is it going to be at home? Are you expecting your kids to take care of you? Will you allow healthcare professionals to come in and take care of you? How is that care going to be paid? And this is where a lot of financial people say, well, she's got the long-term care insurance policy, so boom, that's done. No, that's far from done. That's great. She's got the policy, but that doesn't mean that they have the right policy or it's going to cover what her current needs are, right?
This is a good point. Let me just interject, because some policies pay for in-home care and they will compensate a caregiver to come in, and some policies don't. So you really need to probably get with whoever you bought the policy from to make sure that the provisions are adequate, I would say, to coincide with what they want inside the aging plan. Correct.
That's right. Because so I have a lot of clients of mine have the long-term care insurance policy that they bought like 25, 30 years ago, thinking, okay, I got everything in order, right? Well, then they haven't looked at it until I come along and I'm like, okay, so what do you have in place? Do you have your estate documents in order? Do you have long-term care insurance, life insurance? What are your accounts and passwords? And help them get all of that stuff organized in the grab and go binder. And so we dust off what they put together 20 years ago. And so lo and behold, they need assisted living. They don't want to stay at home anymore. And so they want to move into assisted living. Well, we dust off the insurance policy, and guess what? It only covers long-term care. It only covers nursing home level of care. And so then we're like, okay, just know that if you move into an assisted living type of facility, you're going to have to pay out of pocket 100% because your policy doesn't cover it. So my ask for financial professionals is that you help these families dust off these old documents that they have in place. One thing that I see, and home care is notorious for this too, they'll ask just general blanket questions. Do you have the living will? Do you have the power of attorney? Do you have this? Do you have that? Well, they don't actually ask the client to produce it so that you know where it is, right? So then I come along and I'm like, let's do the grab and go binder. Let's get all of your stuff in order, get it organized. Let's identify the gaps in your planning. And lo and behold, 90% of those financial, like the power of attorney documents, are outdated because they listed someone who 20 years ago who's either dead, who has dementia, or they no longer have a relationship with. And as a financial professional, you could like save the day by just even that one component of, you could have saved them, you know, 15 grand by making sure that they have updated advance directive documents. Because if dad has a stroke and he's got someone listed who's dead as an agent, they have to go in guardianship.
Good luck there.
Yeah. That's guardianship. You know, if you're concerned about their finances, that's anywhere from $8,000 to $15,000 to go through guardianship court just because professionals ignored something that was really critical. Yeah. So other things in the aging plan that you don't talk about as advisors is home care and assisted living, and what are the different levels of care and what are the different licenses involved in those different levels of care? And what do we do if Ethel needs memory care, but John needs assisted living and they want to be together? How does that happen? And what do they have to do to financially qualify to get into these facilities? And do they physically qualify to get into different levels of care? And do they cognitively qualify? So advisor, that's not your scope of practice, right? Your scope of practice, your area of expertise is the financial piece. That's why you have to incorporate, just like you incorporate CPAs to do that piece of the puzzle. Geriatric consultants like myself, we fill in the rest of the gaps. We facilitate the family meeting to say, you know, dad's burning out as a caregiver. What supports can we afford to bring into the house? While we also look at the bigger picture of, even though we know that mom and dad want to stay at home, assisted living centers are full of people who also wanted to stay at home, right?
Yeah.
So we have to plan ahead for that, because pre-pandemic, a lot of these good facilities had 3 and 5 year waiting lists, right? So that's good that Ethel and Marvin want to stay at home because there's nowhere for them to go right now anyway. But then when the pandemic hit, you know, a lot of these facilities are sitting with empty beds because families pulled their loved one out and brought them home to take care of them. So it's a lot to have to think about, and advisors, in my experience in the last decade, are not addressing these issues. And that's where the difference is between a financial plan and an aging plan. You're also not social workers. You're also not family mediators. 85% of my clients come to me, they're in crisis, things are not going well, they're burned out, and they don't know what their options are, and they have no idea what's in place, and they've never had a productive family meeting about it. And so 85% of those families, I'm doing family mediation alongside of the aging plan development.
I think that's an interesting point you bring up, because I think, you know, and I'm just speaking from experience, I think most advisors do a really, really good job, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to win the relationship, if you will. Especially younger advisors. And when you get to a point where essentially, you know, you kind of got to put your ego aside, to, you know, let's call it displace yourself as that go-to person, and start to bring others on the team. And I know the friction, you know, you've won that relationship. The client is kind of looking at you and you're bringing another professional in, depending on how you do it. You know, there's some skills there to articulate, you know, there's a process, I think, to articulate to the client that, look, there's going to be some points in this relationship where I won't be the go-to person. I'm going to bring in a specialist, an extended part of my network, however you want to term it, to make sure that you have what you need. And I think it's really key to do that up front inside the relationship, especially if you're going to hold yourself out as a comprehensive financial planner.
Oh my gosh. And I know we don't know each other real well, but that has been like that word comprehensive and holistic. If I hear that one more time from a financial planner, I'm going to scream, because they are not.
I think the notion is laudable. Seth Godin said this when we were talking in the season one podcast about, you know, no one is indispensable. The planet's still spinning, and, you know, people are doing and creating things all the time. So I think it behooves the financial professional to think about, you know, possibly being the quarterback or the coordinator of a financial relationship, a financial advice relationship that's going to incorporate a lot of different specialties, especially if you kind of think about, you know, let's say your average client age, if you're doing this, you're my age, 45, you may get somebody that's 10 years older to 10 years younger than me. the average life cycle of a client relationship is probably going to be somewhere about 25, 30 years. So to think that I could be the sole source of information for that particular relationship is just ridiculous. I have to build out my practice or my process for delivering the service that I promise in a way that incorporates, you know, professionals like yourself or attorneys or tax specialists or whatnot. So what I want to really, in, you know, kind of bringing this thing for a landing, and I really appreciate your time, Annalee, because this has been a lot of really great information. Talk about the book you're writing and also talk about additional resources. Maybe first talk about why you're writing the book. And I'm pretty sure that dovetails into some other resources that you can put in the hands of financial professionals that are like getting grabbed by this topic and feeling a little convicted.
Yeah, great. So I started writing the book, The Family Caregiver, or The Invisible Patient, The Family Caregiver, actually in 2017. So this has been a work of some time.
The pandemic probably pushed it along, right?
Yeah. And so I wanted to write this book in 2017. And then, but my business, honestly, it truly is like, if there's one takeaway for the listeners, you have to develop relationships with your clients because my business just continually catapults into whole new levels every single year. And so I've learned that it just takes a lot more time to sit down and focus to be able to write a book. And so I had to keep tabling it. And then my own parents had a medical crisis, like back-to-back medical crises. And then, you know, and we had Hurricane Irma down here in Florida and everything shut down for a while. And that, again, made people wake up and say, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with mom and dad? She doesn't have power for 2 weeks, you know? So it just it seems to take disaster for people to kind of come to their senses a little bit. And so I decided that with a pandemic that this is it, like 2021 is going to be the year to get this book out. And it's really it's sad because I wrote about my parents' journey. My mom has dementia, and the things that she was able to do in 2017 when I first started the book, she can't do any of that stuff anymore. She can't do puzzles. She can't maintain conversations, intellectual conversations. You know, she's really declined, which is to be expected with dementia. But the whole purpose of the writing the book, The Invisible Patient, is because family caregivers are so ignored. Like financial planners aren't asking, how are you doing? Are you a family caregiver? How are you holding up? Is it affecting your career? Is it affecting your marriage? Is it affecting your health? You know, doctors, even in the healthcare industry, no one's asking these families, how are you doing? And I'm often, and this is pathetic, I'm often the only one they say that has asked them in this whole caregiving journey, how they're doing as an actual person. Well, guess what? Everyone always asks, well, how are your parents doing? Well, you know what? They're doing fine, but it's to my detriment, right? Because I'm the one missing work. I'm the one that's, you know, putting my husband and family to the side because mom needs more care right now, you know?
And I just have to say parenthetically, though, I mean, this is the element that we definitely don't have to go down this rabbit trail. But I mean, as a human, you got to know that that builds up resentment, whether they're your parents or not.
Absolutely does. Hence the 85% of my families that I do mediation with, because by the time they get referred to me or come to me, they don't like each other.
Yeah, and I can imagine.
And you know what? As financial planners and in the professional industry, we all have to do better about being more intentional with making sure our clients connect with the professionals that can help them. And shame on all of us for dropping the ball. You know,
no, I would agree. And I'd be the first one to say that, you know, that this just reinforces how I want to change things in my own wealth management practice. Because I'm thinking, you know, 85%, that's 9 out of 10 people, basically. That's a huge number. That's basically everybody.
That's right. And guess what? 75% of those adult daughters, they're spending $15,000 out of pocket the year before they retained me to put an aging plan in place, because every time there's a medical crisis or dad falls or mom has a urinary tract infection, guess who gets called and guess who has to leave her work and guess who's worried about losing her job or guess who's not wanting to take that job promotion because she knows it's just going to be that much more responsibility. A lot of my daughters are tending to up to 6 aging loved ones. Why? Because you got mom, you got stepdad, you got stepmom, you got the in-laws who you may or may not even like. But You know, these daughters get pulled in all these different directions and they're trying to maintain their careers and something's going to have to give. So guess what gives? Their career.
Yeah. Wow.
So again, as a financial professional, that should like be alarming to your listeners to be like, oh, how can I prevent my clients from feeling so overwhelmed that they feel like they have to quit their job? And how does that in fact impact your livelihood as a financial professional? If your clients aren't putting money in their account, you're not making money then either, right?
Well, and so I just got to think, I mean, we've talked about this, but I think just having, and I don't know, this is maybe something that I'm really looking over, and I've been married almost 24 years and I have 3 adult children. And so I've honed this skill, not because of anything, but life just happening, but just genuinely being curious about the other person and asking really great questions, you know, beyond your training, beyond just, you know, what you think the checklist you're supposed to do as a CFP or whatever, just ask them questions about how they're doing and genuinely be curious about that. And I think some of these things come out.
They do. They absolutely will. If you have a relationship with someone, they absolutely will. So in the book, like, you know, I have 3 chapters left to write in the book, but okay. I outline what is an aging plan. So there's over 30 different components to a care write, to my kind of aging plan. It's not just a little 2-page form that I go over with clients. It's a whole exercise. It's a whole process. So it outlines what is an aging plan. It talks about how to have the conversations about end of life. And it talks, it helps families. It gives them the tools they need to try to do what I do with them with a white glove approach. It gives them the tools to try to do it on their own. And then if they can't do it, because it is complicated and overwhelming and it's emotional, it's not like we're writing out a grocery list, right? Yeah. We're talking about dependence and people's dignity and independence and safety and well-being and their finances and end of life and incontinence issues. And no one wants to talk about that stuff. So we also talk about in the book, or I talk about in the book, identifying caregiver burnout. Like when you're feeling irritable and burned out and your health is starting to suffer and your relationships are starting to suffer. So there's a whole section on caregiver burnout and how to prevent it. There's a whole section on, you know, how to facilitate your own family meeting. I have scripts and checkpoints and all sorts of tools in there. I've got 22 pages of information, just of checklists and scripts and tools and suggestions and tips. So provided my editor doesn't take any of that out.
Maybe you need to have a workbook. You need to lobby for a workbook for you.
So provided she doesn't take any of that out, there's right now, as of today, there are 22 pages of just like, here's how to do it yourself. Okay. And then there's 80 pages of reading, like actual content. But there's, if all else fails and they just need to flip to the back, there's 22 pages of just content, like how to do this yourself. I'm also creating actual do-it-yourself courses. And I'll with video tutorials, how to facilitate your family meeting, because I can write it down in a book, but like a book can't also have me explaining like some of the nuances of how to do that. So that's why I wrote the book, is because there's millions. We have 65 million family caregivers out there. So there should be 65 million books sold.
Wow. That's a good point.
Yeah. And then real quick, because I've got to scoot here pretty soon. I just, as far as other resources for your listeners, like I said, I built CareWrite in 2011 to help families across the country develop aging plans and facilitate their family meetings. In 2012, I started sponsoring the FPA in a certain state in which I lived, and quickly learned how there's opportunity to train and educate the financial professional industry about aging issues and family caregiver burnout. And so I partnered with Robert Mauderstock, who some might know. He speaks also a lot with the FPA, as do I. We do a lot of national speaking engagements with the FPA. And he's also an author about how to facilitate family meetings and incorporating this type of planning into your financial planning. And so we partnered together and we built a 10-week online course called the Elder Planning Specialist. And if you're a CFP, you get 10 CEs. We have it cleared, obviously, from the CFP board. And so you get 10 CEs. We talk about understanding the aging demographic. We understand about what we teach about what questions to start asking your clients to build that relationship, and also to build your professional team to refer your clients to, so that we can truly be holistic, comprehensive planners by having those professionals on the bench to incorporate into planning. And we also talk about how to facilitate a family meeting from a financial planning perspective so that you can get to know that second generation. Because as you probably know, that when Ethel and Marvin die, if you don't know those kids, what are they going to do with the account? They're going to move it. And then you're leaving, again, money on the table. So we're trying to teach about how to really think like a business owner. Like, where are the gaps in your model that you can add value, and it's going to also... you know, we're business owners, right? So we have to think about the finances, but if they're not contributing to their account, then that's going to affect your livelihood. So we teach about collaborative approach and how to make referrals. You can visit www.plan4lifenow.com, and there's a whole, it's 10 weeks. We have diversity training in there. We've got legal, we talk about legal planning. We have Anna Rapoport from the Actuary Society. We've got long-term care insurance discussion in there as well. So we've got 10 industry-leading speakers on our panel about all things aging that that professionals need to start addressing with their clients.
No, I think that's great. I think that's great. When you're this in this age that we live in now, you know, a lot of the things, I remember talking to Calvin Williams about this, who created a robo-advisor, and he's like, the things that technology and AI and digitization is going to replace are the things that advisors shouldn't be doing anyway.
That's right.
And I wholeheartedly agree with that. When people talk about fee compression and all this other thing, I was like, well, your value proposition is in the wrong place. That's why you're feeling threatened.
That's right.
But to start to look at some of this stuff that you're talking about, and obviously not to become a specialist, but to be aware of it so you can ask those questions, that's where your value proposition is being that caring fiduciary to your client. So this is great. I really appreciate your time. As you know, this is a podcast to empower tomorrow's financial professionals with tools to serve their clients at the next level. I guess with that in context, Annalee, what word or words of wisdom would you leave with our audience?
Start now by developing the relationship. Ask questions that matter. What's going on in your personal life that's impacting your ability to earn a living and impacting your health? Start asking questions. Wow. Address family caregiver burnout. Don't think that it's going to go away. It's not. Don't ignore aging issues. You have to develop a team of professionals that you can say, you know what, you know, this isn't my area of expertise, but as your advisor or as your financial professional, I have professionals on my team that can help you. Here's her website, or here's this person's website, but I also want to make sure that you connect. What number is the best number for this person to call you? Or like for me, I have a calendar on my website so that when planners are meeting with their advisors or attorneys or CPA, whenever anyone's meeting with their professional or families, can just simply, they can schedule their 30-minute consult directly on my website. So I've made it as easy as I think I can to make professionals more aware and to incorporate senior planning into their financial plan. And that's what I would encourage advisors to do too. Make it easy for your customer to work with you and to reach you and develop that relationship so that when that crisis happens with their parents, you know that they're going to call you. Financial planners are the first three people that a family calls, because guess what? Now dad needs nursing home care. What do we have for money? We don't know what we even have to work with. So you have to start asking these questions.
No, I love that. Start planning and creating the relationship now. I think that underscores it all, underscores this entire conversation. Great stuff, Annalee. We are wishing you well on the completion of the book. Can't wait.
Thank you.
Can't wait. Thank you. And hopefully your editor won't cut out too much of it.
How I know, me too. I'm like, it's like, you know how much time this has taken me to write all this down.
Well, thanks for being on the podcast, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Hey there. I really hope you enjoyed this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. First, you need to write down your most important takeaway, and then you need to give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. Also, remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate it if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to join my free community to learn more about how you can become a next generation financial professional, please text me at 214-544-9226. I love to hear from you and point you in the right direction. Bye for now, until our next conversation.